Thank you, Jan. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to be here to present a study that was conducted in Wisconsin. It was conducted with colleagues at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Paul Schwartz is a graduate assistant of mine and is the primary author on the analysis, but he was unable to be here today. And also Jeff Enriquez, who's a statistician that helped out with this this study. Just to give you a little bit of background about this study, you know that over the last 20 years or so, the field of public health has put a lot of effort into sort of re-looking at what we do and what the practice of public health has been about. We've been redefining and refocusing public health practice to focus on populations, communities, and systems rather than just on direct services to individuals and families. And this change in focus has led to a need for a lot of public health professionals to really develop a slightly different and more evolved set of skills and knowledge around in order to be competent in providing that kind of population-focused practice. These competencies for this kind of practice have been developed by a variety of different national groups and are certainly becoming used in academic settings to structure curriculum and courses, as well as in practice settings for things like performance appraisals and orientation programs. However, I think the measurement methods that we're using to assess whether or not people meet or don't meet certain competencies is still definitely evolving. In Wisconsin, we hadn't done any kind of broad-based assessment of competency levels of public health professionals prior to this study, and this particular study was focused towards nurses employed in official local governmental public health agencies. And the primary rationale for the study was that I was fortunate to, I am the project director for a project called Linking Education and Practice for Excellence in Public Health Nursing. This is a HRSA-funded project through the Nurse Education Practice and Retention Program. It is a statewide collaborative project. Its primary aim is to improve competency for population-focused public health nursing practice through improving basic education for that practice, improving orientation for nurses new to public health practice, and through targeted continuing education programs for currently practicing public health nurses. And this competency assessment was the first step in the impact evaluation for this project, and it was undertaken to get a baseline understanding of the areas of strength and weaknesses among currently practicing public health nurses in our state. For this study, okay, so how do you assess competency? Well, the best way, of course, is to observe and to be able to judge whether or not somebody is able to do something. That approach to competency assessment wasn't particularly practical in this setting, so we opted for a self-assessment of competency using a previously developed instrument. And the instrument we chose to use in the study was created by Michelle Eisel and Kathleen Baldwin and Bobby Lyons and her colleagues at the University of Illinois. At various campuses. so we used that instrument with their permission. It had been published in a public health nursing journal and, to my knowledge, had not been duplicated or replicated in another state, at least before this one. I'm not sure where that stands now. But we chose the instrument really for three reasons. One, it was specifically designed for use by public health nurses to assess competency levels in the provision of essential public health services, as defined by the Public Health Function Steering Committee. And secondly, this prior use and prior testing had demonstrated that it had good reliability and validity, and it was of a reasonable length to expect people to use with limited respondent burden. So for this study, we took that, we adapted the pencil and paper version of the instrument into an electronic survey format using the web survey at UW tool. And it is a cross-sectional survey. It was conducted in the first year of our LEAP project. And we hope to repeat the survey at the end of the project in order to assess change in perceptions of competency over time. The instrument itself is organized in 9 domains with 65 items within each of those domains. The stem of the question is up here on the screen. How competent do you feel with your knowledge or skills in each of the following areas? And then the response set is a 1 to 5 Likert type scale, as you see up here. So ranging from I need to be taught about this to I can do this and teach it to others. The instrument, these are the nine domain areas. You can see they're similar to the Essential Public Health Services framework. The number of items for each domain is listed after. It ranges from 4 to 13 items per domain. And then in addition to these 65 items on our survey, we included some questions about changes in duties in the past 5 years, frequency with which a nurse is asked to do essential services, and then demographics, age, gender, ethnicity, education, and employment. So the whole survey was 95 questions. There was no, and there still is no, list of public health nurses in Wisconsin by their email address. Wouldn't that be nice to have that kind of sampling frame? So I did the best I could. The Wisconsin Health Alert Network does have a variety of different email group lists, and one is for public health nurses, a public health nurse group email list. So I looked at that list. I got permission to use it from the state and looked at that list, and there were both local public health nurses and state-level public health nurses in that list, so I removed the email addresses from for the state staff and ended up with a list of 471 unique email addresses. And overall, based on other reports of reported numbers of local public health nurses in the state, we estimate that this list includes about 75 to 80% of the nurses eligible to complete the study. So these nurses then were sent email invitations to participate in the study that had a direct link to the electronic survey in it. Reminder emails were sent at 2 and 3 weeks post the initial invitation, and the data were collected in 2007. These are some graphs of the participant demographics. Of the 471 nurses that were invited to participate in the baseline, 299 responded with at least 75% of the survey completed, and so that 299 were included in the analysis, and that's a response rate of about 64%. The great majority were white and female. Overall age was 47.4 years. 14% of the sample indicated that they worked in public health nurse management or supervisory positions, and the remainder were staff public health nurses. The managers were older than the staff nurses on average, with a mean age of 52.2 years. So these were experienced nurses overall. About 71% worked full-time. Overall, the participants averaged 15.5 years of experience in public health, and the mean years of experience in public health for the managers was significantly higher at 22.3 years. Now, baccalaureate degrees are required by our state statutes to hold the title of public health nurse. So, as you can see on this graph, quite a high percentage of nurses did indicate that their highest degree was the baccalaureate degree. 62% of managers also had graduate degrees, compared to only 5.56% for the staff public health nurses. Now, there certainly are some limitations to this study of this sample. I mentioned the group list was incomplete and doesn't include all nurses in the state. We did do an analysis of the representativeness of the participants compared to what we estimated by region, and assessed that the nurses in the southeast region of the state, which is the Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine, a more urban area, and nurses in the western part of the state, which is a more rural area, were both underrepresented in the sample compared to their actual numbers. And certainly given that the data were only collected in Wisconsin, it's not really generalizable to other states. So this is the scale reliabilities, the Kronbach alphas for each of the domains. And as you can see, all of the scale reliabilities were very good. They were all over 0.8, which is standard as being very good, with a range of 0.86 to 0.95. This also compared favorably with the survey that had been done in Illinois prior, where their reliabilities ranged from 0.9 to 0.97. Now, these are the results. These are the means then. This shows the means, overall means, and standard deviations of the responses for each of the domain areas. And you can see on this graph that we have it divided by the midpoint of each of those Likert scale responses. So in essence, considering scores above 3.5, 3 being I can do this, 4 being I can do this with ease, is shown in green here. And between 2.5 and 3.49, that I can do this kind of category is shown in blue, and 1.5 to 2.49 is that I do or can do this with help, and those are shown in red here. So linking people to services was the highest in terms of its mean of 3.59. It's the only one that sort of reached that above competency level of I can do this with ease. The next four approached this level, and showed sort of a basic competence. I can do or can do this. And then the last four really are showing that they do not perceive themselves to be competent in those areas. Okay, so, oh good, it showed up well enough. We did a multivariate analysis looking at then these means in terms of whether or not they varied by any of the demographic variables that we had. And the only variable that predicted a significant variation in mean scores was staff level, so manager versus full-time staff versus part-time staff. So what you see on this screen are those three levels. The gray is manager means, the blue is the full-time staff, and the black is the part-time staff. And you can see from this graph that in each case, in each domain area, there was a stepwise reduction in perceived competency, from managers perceiving the highest competency to part-time staff feeling the lowest levels of competency. But for all three groups assessed, the linking people to resources was the highest, as it is overall. For managers and the part-time staff, that reached that kind of more than competent level, that green level from the prior slide. And in every domain, managers assess their competencies higher than staff, and as I mentioned, full-time staff assess their competency higher than part-time staff. In 7 of the 9 domains, the managers perceived higher competency than full-time staff at statistically significant differences. So most of these differences are statistically significant at the 0.05 level, particularly between managers and the full-time staff. But also in 6 domains, the full-time staff assess their competency at statistically significant higher levels than part-time staff. So these differences are mostly statistically significant. So I think overall, our sort of baseline assessment, it really wasn't that bad, but it was low or moderately low in most of the domains. This highest perceived competency in linking people to service really reflects, I think, what public health nurses traditionally have done the most, and it's reassuring that nurses at all levels perceive themselves to be highly competent in that area. The lower competence in some of the other areas, I think it really kind of supported what we're trying to do with the LEAP project in terms of our continuing education approaches, trying to address some of those lower perceived competency areas. But also, I think for some items, this may reflect on what staff nurses are asked to do by their agencies. Policy and planning, evaluating health services, those things are typically asked of managers or of coordinators or of specialty staff more than staff nurses. But however, as public health practice changes to kind of require that more of those skills at all levels, I think it's clear that there's some work that we need to do to help nurses to feel competent in doing these kinds of services. And the stepwise increase between the managers and the full-time staff and the part-time staff, I think, might also reflect expectations of the agencies or assignments given to nurses who are part-time versus full-time. So part-time nurses might be very narrow in their focus, just do immunization clinic, just do a grant-related project, and not be expected to have a wide variety of activities. Now, I also because we could, and because Paul Schwartz wanted to do it, really, we went back to the published Illinois data to do a cross comparison between the Illinois results and the Wisconsin results. And this is a table that shows the demographics between the two states. As you know, Wisconsin is just like right north of Illinois, so we kind of consider ourselves neighbors. And they're similar also, not only in geography, but also in the types of local public health structure that we have. Now, the Illinois data were collected in 2002, I'm quite sure. The sample was not, though, a statewide sample like ours was. It was mostly from 50 health departments in counties in the northern and central areas of Illinois, and included suburban as well as urban areas. Data in Illinois were collected through a written mailback survey, while it was electronic in Wisconsin. And of course, it was done 5 years later. So this slide shows the demographics of both samples. You can see that the age and the percent female are nearly identical, but the Illinois sample is more diverse in its race and ethnicity characteristics, and a higher percentage of the public health nurse managers in Wisconsin than in Wisconsin, and that was the way they did their sampling. The most interesting difference, though, is I think the years of public health practice experience, with much higher years of public health practice experience in Wisconsin, and also a much higher percent of nurses that had the baccalaureate degree. And it's probably due to our statutes. And so these are a side-by-side comparison then of the results. And these, again, were published means and standard deviations from the Public Health Nursing 2006 article. And you can see that the pattern of responses is very similar. Both groups demonstrated that highest perceived competency in the linking to people to services domain. As everything's a little bit higher in Wisconsin than in Illinois. And the next four domain areas were the same also, though the order was slightly different. And the last four domain areas, the bottom areas, were also the same, though in slightly different order. So it was good to see these results, that they were similar. The higher means in Wisconsin may be due to this five-year difference. In terms of in data collection points, as the essential services framework has become more established over time, and public health nurses have perhaps gained skills in those competency areas. Alternatively, health departments and public health nurses in Wisconsin may place more emphasis on those kinds of services, and I need to do a little bit more explanation and understanding of what the health departments in Illinois are like to be able to kind of make sense of that. The differences in educational preparation and experience level, though, may also be contributing factors. But we couldn't do a direct test of that because we were just using the published data from the paper and not the whole data set. So we didn't have the demographic variables per person from Illinois. And then, but overall, I think that the overall results are similar. Nurses in both states reported perceptions of basic competence in some, but not all of the areas of essential services. And I think it says a few things about the instrument as well. It helps because now it's been replicated and now we're comparing across states with similar results. It's increasing that reliability and validity of the instrument. I think the similarity of patterns of response is also reassuring from that standpoint. But, you know, it's still self-reported information and perceptions of their own competency. And that might vary depending on a person's own personality characteristics as to whether they're modest or not modest. So I think that it's just one way of looking at this. Also, the scale used, that 1-5 scale, was analyzed as an ordinal scale, but I think it can be questioned about whether the distance between I need to be taught about this, a 1, and a 2, I do or can do this with help, is really the same conceptually as between 4 and 5, I can do this with ease, and 5, I can do this and teach it to others. I think in particular that 5 point, teaching it to others might represent a different set of competencies than doing. And I do know that in conversations with Dr. Eisel, that we're looking at, they maybe have already changed the STEM for that 5 category into something else, and maybe Kathleen can tell us what that is. And I've also did an analysis very recently that, and I was able to cut this instrument down to 40 items instead of 65 items, and I'm using that to in a pilot test of an orientation program that's part of the LEAP grant, and we'll see how that narrowed scale works, and I have talked with Dr. Eisel about that as well. So I think we can conclude that staff public health nurses take on more systems level activities within this kind of framework. They'll need to require additional training and support to elevate at least their perceptions of their competency. And also I think we just need studies to know whether perceived competency and real competency are reflective of each other. In terms of the next steps for the LEAP project, this is a statewide academic practice collaborative project. We have 6 regional learning collaboratives established across the state that are busily working right now. We have created an orientation program for new public health nurses that will be pilot tested come January. We are working on a set of online continuing education programs directed at practicing public health nurses. And we've been having faculty development conferences each year where we're really trying to improve the abilities of our faculty in our state, in our 21 schools of nursing across the state, to teach population-focused public health nursing. And as I mentioned, I hope to repeat this competency survey sometime. So I'm open to questions. This is our LEAP grant website. If you haven't visited, I really encourage you to do so. We've been putting everything we can possibly think of that's happened related to the grant up on the website, and it's all available to you to use. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, Susan.
I can change this slide.